Welcome to Uprising. Each episode looks inside what it takes to lead the most dynamic and successful cultural movements. Some of them in the business world, some in the social realm, some in politics, and some in between. To see why people start uprisings. What gives those initiatives momentum and keeps them going? And most important, what lessons can you learn from these movements and how to apply them to your business and even personal life? Let's explore the secret to sparking movements that move people into action.
Passionate ideas.
Controversial ideas.
Uprising ideas.
The power is now in the hands of anyone.
To start a cultural movement.
Your movement.
To move the world.
Hello, I'm Scott Goodson. Donald Trump made a decision to do something that is almost as old as the United States of America. He began the quest to become the president. It has been a campaign unlike anything we've seen before. He's psyched out his opponents. He's outwitted the GOP. He's ignited a massive movement of followers across the country that continues to gain steam, feeding off fears and insecurities. At last reckoning, he seems unstoppable. Donald Trump, love him, hate him, what can we learn from him?
I think there's a certain level of safety that people feel with the way that he operates and projects himself.
This is Kelly Kitley, a licensed clinical social worker who's an expert in women's mental health. When a man says things that are insulting to women, why doesn't it seem to register?
Well, I think women can compartmentalize, well, not as well as men can, but to overgeneralize, you know, in saying, well, that isn't a direct insult to me, but it is a insult to another woman. And he does a really good job at blaming his reason or describing his reason for the attacks. And I think that he oftentimes can manipulate to make it look like he has his best interests in mind for minorities or women in particular.
You obviously understand women and human beings also. Why do we feel the need to watch him, even if we don't agree with him? I mean, have you noticed
like
everybody?
Watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
I mean, bad publicity is still publicity, you know? And I think, I have four kids and they are enamored by him. And one of my kids made a vision board and put Donald Trump on it next to his bed. And I asked him, you know, we're a very democratic family, and his siblings were kind of shaming him. And he said, well, he's powerful. He has a lot of money. I want to be just like him. And so I think there is that desire to see what he's going to say next. It's just jaw dropping. And he takes a lot of risks, and successful business people take risks. And so, I think he's entertaining.
He does not seem to be able to be derailed in any way. He seems to be able to do whatever he wants, and nothing seems to reduce his momentum. I mean, the movement seems to continue to grow every day. And so it seems as though he really is, and, you know, almost he can say whatever he wants.
He can, and he does. And I think people are afraid to challenge him because they're afraid of how he's going to turn it back on them. So he's really taken this authoritative approach that, you know, I think people are very cautious about how they say what they say and what they say because they don't want to be ridiculed or put down by him.
So fear plays both a role in motivating them to stand with him, but at the same time, they're fearful of getting in his way.
You know, a lot of us make decisions based on fear, either a decision to do something or not to do something. And when you have somebody who won't take no for an answer and speaks their mind, I mean, that can be very empowering in terms of somebody leading our country, that he's going to get shit done, or that is the perception.
What happens to human beings when they feel insecure? When they feel fearful?
Well, they either regress or look for somebody they can attach to who has that sense of self or that confidence?
In order to rally a movement, he has to first create fear and urgency in an enemy. Is that what he's doing when he's coming up with a list of enemies, you know, Mexicans, you know, being rapists or Muslims? So coming up with the rapist thing is really to turn them into an enemy for his movement.
He takes this approach as having a lot of passion and having a, you know, this is really a labor of love for him. But by putting other, overgeneralizing communities, just does a disservice. And again, using fear to motivate people to follow him.
Do you, I mean, this is just what, something that popped into my head. Do you think yeah. we're suffering from a mass psychosis?
That's a loaded question. Oh, perhaps.
It's strange.
It is. It really is. It's, and, you know, I mean, I'm kind of scared, too. And not to support Trump, I'm fearful. You know, I don't necessarily know if Hillary or Trump are the best candidates and what that's going to look like. So it's certainly, I mean, it's revolutionary.
Thank you for joining our uprising today and listening to our show. If you missed the show, or if you want to find out more about who was on, or if you want to learn more about how to create your own uprising, please go to uprisingmovements.com. You can also download this uprising program from iTunes. Uprising was produced by Nicola Keneally and Adam Helen, with special help from Melanie Boardman, Karin Drakenberg, Philippa Freeman, Brianna Campbell, Fashad Faroudi, Mark Bruzzi, Will Isom, James Politi, and Jonathan Weeks. A special thank you to psychologist Kelly Kitley. My name is Scott Goodson, and you've been listening to Uprising. What we can learn about movements and uprisings that are shaping our world in business, in society, and in between. For more on cultural movements and movement marketing, be sure to pick up a copy of the best-selling book Uprising, How to Build a Brand and Change the World by Sparking Cultural Movements, available on Amazon.com. Music for Uprising composed by Charles Duchateau.